Buzzacast.
Your sports radio.
Broadcasting live, loud and proud from Central PA Sports Authority.
Woo-hoo!
WFXS America.
The Foxy Knowledge.
It is time for a thrilling Thursday edition of Let's Talk here on Sports Radio 98.7 The Fox. Jeff and Scott with you. The phone line is open and available for your use at 814-954-7266. That's 814-954-7266. If you want to weigh in on absolutely anything on the big show this morning.
If you want to weigh in.
Oh, yeah.
What would your weight class be?
That would be heavy, heavyweight, baby. double heavy.
Oh, okay. He gets a dollar for honesty. All
mm-hmm.
right. I would be in the same weight class, I think. Not good. So whenever I hear that term, weigh in, I just think about either wrestling
mm-hmm.
or boxing.
Ah, there you go.
All right. Wrestling and boxing. It's
These days, MMA.
Yeah. Okay, well, yeah, that type of stuff.
Yeah.
I don't think there's anything else where you have to actually weigh in. Not that I can think of. Wrestling, boxing, and, you know, fighting and all that sort of stuff. Anyway. All right, we got a busy show today. We have two guests that are going to join us. Later this hour, it's three weeks to Christmas. Hey. Oh, boy. Are you ready? All right, let's have a fun...
Am I ready?
Well, you're not.
Well, no. No, I'm not.
You haven't started your shopping for 3 weeks or whatever the heck it is. Let's have some fun for 3 weeks.
All right, let's do it.
And so we're going to have a guest from Belfont Victorian Christmas, which is a great event that those folks do there. We're going to get all the details, you know, the where, when, why, all that sort of stuff. So that'll be fun. In the 9 o'clock hour, Dr. John Affleck of Penn State's going to join us for a bit. He is with the Belisario College of Communications.
Oh, yeah.
Love that name. That just rings right off the tongue. And we've had Dr. Affleck on the show before. And last week, I'm watching a news program on TV, and they're doing a story about sports gambling. All this stuff we've heard lately about sports gambling. And could this be, not a good thing, all right? And all of a sudden, in the middle of this news story, there's Dr. Affleck giving a soundbite, answering a question. I'm like, oh, I know him. So we reached out to him, and he's like, sure, I'll pop over. So he's going to join us in the 9 o'clock hour to primarily talk about this, you know, sports gambling stuff, which, I mean, there have already been some charges going in some different directions and so on about fixing games and, hey, I'll pitch a ball on purpose in baseball and then I'll make $5,000 for pitching a ball as opposed to a strike. Is gambling getting just a little nuts, a little too crazy? So, Dr. Affleck, that should be a good conversation. I want to hear what he has to say. He'll be joining us here in the 9 o'clock hour. If you haven't been out yet this morning yet, it's kind of a gray morning, little hazy,
I thought it was just me.
Valley of happiness. We'll see how happy we are.
Uh-huh.
Now, here's the thing. Now, this may not be everywhere, but tonight into tomorrow morning, could it possibly get down in the single digits?
What?
Really?
I got a single digit for you. Come on now.
Come on. We're friends. Don't do that. I'm glad we're on the radio, not on television.
That's
holy mackerel. Folks,
completely unnecessary.
You should have seen this, ladies and gentlemen. It's terrible. Could it possibly, in some spots, get down into the single numbers?
Mm.
Really cold. Now, it's probably just going to be a one-night thing tonight. Again, maybe more like 24 hours from now, like dawn or so tomorrow, it's going to be really cold. So if you haven't dug out your actual winter coat yet, which I haven't, all right, I need to do that, you're probably going to need it tonight into tomorrow morning. It's going to be cold. And yes, I have seen a forecast, no, a couple of forecasts for next week. Yeah, it's the return of, well, I don't have to anymore since we have snow on the ground. Snow.
Yes.
All right. Snow. Probably getting some more snow sometime, maybe early, mid next week. All right, here we go. Very interesting. Now, we will have some open line time maybe toward the end of the program next hour. And now you probably, we have our sports segment coming up here in a bit.
Uh-huh.
I don't know if you've got a Penn State coach update in your sports segment. I'm assuming you probably do.
I've been asked to not, our negotiations are supposed to be kept quiet here, so I'm trying to honor.
For you. Okay.
Correct.
All right. Anyway.
I mean, maybe correct.
All right.
I wouldn't know.
Yes.
My people are talking to their people.
Mum's the word, huh? Okay. If you pay attention to news, you probably saw this story yesterday or last night. Center Daily Times had a version. StateCollege.com had a version. I think maybe there's some other versions out there. Again, a few days ago, we were all whoo-hoo-hoo about the BYU coach. And through that whole discussion, I'm just like, really? Really? Nothing against the coach. He seems like a great guy. But it just didn't seem like a fit. And, of course, it wasn't. BYU, threw some more money at him or something, and he's staying at BYU. Okay, I'm shocked. I'm not actually shocked. Well, apparently, sometime earlier this week, I guess the BYU fans bought into this, like, oh, my gosh, we're going to lose our guy or something like that. And they decided to, you know, politic and so on. And some guy apparently has a podcast where he just said, hey, you know, maybe we should, you know, give a, and this is weird, we should donate to a State College, I guess, charity just to essentially say, I don't know, leave our coach alone or something like that. And amazingly, apparently this started on Tuesday and continued yesterday, and State College Food Bank, our friend Elaine Beck, who's been on our show a couple of times, was the recipient of, well, the last time we checked, 142 donations. Now, this is not from here. This is from outside. 142 donations of money totaling $4,862. And I'm assuming this is 142 BYU fans. That for some reason, now, think about other schools. Would they do something like this? No, I don't think so. 142 fans donated almost $5,000 to the State College Food Bank. Now, that's good, all right? I mean, this time of year especially, that's good. Elaine Beck of the Food Bank had a quote in one of the stories that said, $5,000 could maybe provide 2 weeks of groceries for nearly 500 people. So is that money going to be well spent? Yes, in our neighborhood, okay? So I guess a tip of the cap, if you will, to BYU fans. I mean, that's come on. Would you see Michigan fans doing this?
Please.
Next contestant, all right? I don't think so. That's unique. And as far as we know, the donations may still be coming in from these outside folks and so on. Like, okay, if I'm Elaine, I'm like, yeah, baby, keep sending it. Keep it coming, baby, keep it coming. Go BYU. And some of the people in there, you know, when you do this online, there's usually an area where you can put in a remark. And they printed, the one story printed some of the remarks. And BYU, by the way, is the Cougars, not the Nittany Lions, the Cougars. And some of the remarks said, you know, hey, go Cougars, go Penn State, good luck with your coaching search. In other words, they were genuine messages. They weren't snipers. I'm thinking, all right, I have some renewed appreciation for BYU.
Yeah, right. I'm sure they appreciate it.
I know very little about BYU. They're in Utah, Mormon church, all right, all that sort of thing. But I have renewed appreciation for BYU. That's a classy move. Classy move.
And of course, if you're listening yesterday afternoon to Sports Radio 98.7 The Fox, you already knew all about this. Chris Buchanani had Elaine back on yesterday, and they were talking about this very situation. And I really liked and would encourage, if you are able to, Penn State fans to respond. So what happened? A lot of the BYU fans donated $30.17. And you may be saying, $30 and 17 cents. That's why in the world would you? Well, 30 to 17 is the score of the last time BYU defeated Penn State. That was in 1992. It was a 30 to 17 win for the Cougars. So, Chris Buchanani yesterday responded with a donation on air to Elaine Beck and the State College Food Bank of $50.39.
I know where this is going.
Which was the score in the, I think, pretty famous, for those of us that were around for that game, a very memorable Holiday Bowl matchup between the Nittany Lions and the Cougars, Penn State's last victory over BYU. So, some fun being had there, but ultimately for a very good cause as well. That Holiday Bowl game, I was a sophomore at Penn State that year, and it was 50 to 39 in those days. I mean, it's still a high scoring game now, but it's not that uncommon to see both teams get into the 30s. We've had games where both teams have been in the 50s these days. It's a more offensive oriented game. Back in 1989, 50-39 was eye-popping stuff, and especially at Penn State. But Ty Detmer was a sensational quarterback for BYU. He threw for over 500 yards in that game, but Gary Brown had the took the ball right out of Ty's hands and went the other way with the what was the clinching touchdown in that game. That was just a wild game. So if you are so inclined and you're looking for something positive surrounding Penn State football right now, aside from the bowl game, there's a lot of folks that are on pins and needles. Well, why not respond to the BYU fans by making an even more substantial donation of $50.39 to the State College Food Bank ahead of the holiday season?
All right.
Just a thought.
Yeah.
If you're able.
Ty Detmer. Yeah, I remember that guy. And that's when Gary Brown was playing defense. Then later on, he goes and plays offense, and he played in the NFL in offense.
Yeah,
in
that Holiday Bowl game, it was Blair Thomas playing offense, and he did pretty well. I think he had over 180 yards rushing for Penn State in that game. That was just a wild
game. That was a wild game, yes. All right.
Lots of fun stuff.
Okay. Folks, we're not going to give you diet advice, okay? That's up to you. We got this New York Times story. It's interesting from what stories you report. The average cost of a large cheese pizza in the United States. All right. What do you think that is? The New York Times story has data from a platform called Slice, which I guess is all about pizzas. All right. We're going to play our favorite game, Quiz the Iron Head. Now, this is nationwide, all right, not just here.
Pepperoni.
All right, no, the average cost of a large cheese pizza, the United States is now what?
Cheese pizza.
Yes, regular cheese pizza.
All over the United States, $18.
Well, you're very close. You're actually high, okay? Is that around here, probably? It's actually up to $17 now. Now, folks, think about, for those of you that can remember life before COVID.
Oh, I vaguely recall those
life
days.
Before COVID, was a large cheese pizza $17 or $18 before COVID? And, of course, the answer is no. Ugh. Anyway, so it says, I'm reading here, it says, the higher costs are adding to a perfect storm of factors that have cut into big pizza sales. Why do we always put the word big?
Big pizza.
Big oil, big pharma, big pizza, big pizza sales.
Well, if you were listening to LeVar this morning, it'll be the the big Black Friday NFL schedule. They are actually looking at expanding. LeVar was having an awful lot of fun with the Black Friday component to that. But apparently the NFL is looking at least a second game for Black Friday next year, in addition to the three Thanksgiving Day games, which, by the way, had ridiculous ratings. That Chiefs-Cowboys game,
they were a good game,
had like 56 million viewers, which in this day and age, to get that type of number for anything is crazy. But a regular season football game, I mean, that is wild.
Well, you got to get the right matchups.
Yeah.
You got the Detroit Lions and the Green Bay Packers. That's a popular game, rivals. Cowboys-Chiefs, you know, Super Bowls, so on. Now, the Ravens, well, they rolled over that night against Cincinnati.
Thank you, dear Baltimore.
I'm not sure.
Let's do it again this Sunday, shall we?
In Baltimore,
can we do that, please?
That would be very nice. So, anyway, so Big Pizza is not doing well because apparently with the average cheese pizza now $17 or more, fewer people apparently are buying pizzas, like large cheese pizzas. And so apparently, and it says here, because of economic anxiety, the rise of those weight loss drugs is mentioned in this. So maybe it says people have fewer people have late night cravings. Really? Okay. It also, now this is interesting. It says, this is from the story, also new competition from wraps and burritos are cutting into pizza sales. Now, are you folks eating more wraps and burritos? Mr. Ironhead, are you eating more wraps and burritos this year or something?
I'm eating more. Eating my fair share.
And eating fewer pizzas? According to the Times story, consumers are responding now by ordering smaller pizzas with fewer toppings. Well, that means less sales for big pizza. Okay, that's not necessarily a good thing. So for the pizza houses out there listening, I don't know what kind of strategies you're using to try to up your pizza sales. Not a good thing. Then we have this story. All right, this is from Semaphore, which is a kind of a worldwide, like an e-newsletter that I like to read every day. I'm just going to read this because when I first read this, I thought, okay, this is a little strange, but this is what they claim. It says here, society right now is in a, quote, recession of mischief, according to a psychology scholar. We have a recession of mischief. What does that mean? Well, it says here, data shows right now people are drinking less, committing fewer crimes. This one's weird. Joining fewer cults.
Huh.
And staying closer to their hometown. Now, folks, what do you think about that? And so they have a quote here. People are less weird than they used to be.
I don't think that's true. We are having much different experiences.
This is according to newsletter writer Adam Mastriani.
Huh.
His newsletter is called Experimental History. I'll have to check this one out. So according to Mr. Mastriani, it says, art, now think about this, art is being reduced to reboots and franchises. Now think about movies, all right, like original movies. What's the hot movie right now? I think your little guy went to movie yesterday.
Zootopia 2.
Zootopia 2. All right. And the other hot movie right now is Wicked for Good, which is a sequel. How many of those superhero sequel movies did we have? We had one after the other after the other. And so part of the argument here, people are less weird than they used to be. Less original stuff. Okay, that's something to think about. Says in the story, now the word they use is insipid. There's an insipid sameness in the design of buildings, offices, and cafes. Now I'm trying to think, okay, like buildings and so on just all look the same? Now we've done that before, but apparently according to this guy, we're just more boring. We're just doing the same boring stuff, like over and over and over again. Now, the story says these shifts aren't always negative, according to Mr. Mastriani. He says medical and technological advances mean that people, quote, hold on to life more dearly now, and they are less likely to take risks. Maybe. And then his final quote, it's way less enticing to screw around lest you screw up the rest of your time on Earth, unquote.
There you go.
So maybe the play it safe attitude has been oncoming. Now, I don't know, maybe COVID had something to do with that. I mean, COVID, remember, think about it, it's 5 years ago now. COVID really changed a lot of things, didn't it? And it's not like, okay, we're just going to change back. No. All right. It had, I would call them negative effects in many different ways. I mean, and I'm not trying to criticize, but sometimes I'll be in a public place and I still see people wearing masks. And I'm thinking, okay, is this person sick? So they're wearing a mask to be safe? Or are they wearing a mask because they're petrified that somehow they're now going to catch something? I'm not a petrified guy. All right. That's not my speed. But I still see it in some public places. And my thought is, well, if that person is sick, they probably shouldn't even be here. So I'm going to guess that person is perfectly fine, and they're just afraid they're going to catch something. So we want to take less risks in things like health, in things like building buildings, in things like movies. Well, Zootopia 1 worked great. Let's make Zootopia 2. And when we get to Zootopia 5, then what do? It's just like the same stuff over and over. Okay, we live in a college town. I remember when college was all about risk-taking. Maybe they don't do it that much anymore. Maybe when Dr. Affleck comes next hour, I'll have to throw that at him. He works with students. I got some risk takers over there. Oh, stay tuned for that. This could be fun. All right, we're going to take a break here. When we come back, we've got our sports segment. Oh, we got plenty of stuff there. Again, we're going to find out about Bellefonte Victorian Christmas. We certainly have the weather for it right now, don't we? All right, we got that. Sports gambling. Just how big of an issue is this? I mean, we got some sports over here on this campus, lots of them. Effects there, you know, what's going on there? And then somewhere in there, probably more toward the end, we'll have some open line time. If we have time for this today, otherwise I'll hold it for tomorrow. Our friends from FIRE, the Foundation for Individual Rights and Expression, put out a release yesterday that really got my attention.
Oh?
Like, are you serious? And I trust FIRE. These are good research people. And so if we have time later in the show, I'll read over this, and then you can debate what you think. Very interesting stuff. But right now, we got to take a break. You're listening to Let's Talk here on 98.7 The Fox. We're just getting rolling, and we'll come right back.
Your home for the Goon and Ironhead.
Ironhead and the Goon.
Exclusively on Sports Radio 98.7
The Fox.
Scott Graham here from Westwood One. Don't miss any of our exclusive NFL action all season long until a new champion is crowned at Super Bowl 60. Of course, each week begins with Thursday Night Football. I'll get it started with a preview and a look ahead at the big weekend games. Then it's to the stadium for the play-by-play of all the action. Join us all season long on Thursday Night Football.
The road to Super Bowl 60 starts right here all season long. Sports Radio 98.7 The Fox.
Our military heroes deserve our thanks. Patriotic Hearts is there to assist those in need, especially in the transition back to family and civilian life. You can help by donating an unwanted car, truck, SUV, or van. Your donation supports the programs that make a difference in the lives of veterans and those actively serving our country. Call today for a fast, free pickup. Your donation will not only be greatly appreciated, but will also qualify as a tax deduction. Call 800-917-1544 to help our military heroes. Call 800-917-1544. Operators are standing by 24/7. Patriotic Hearts, helping our soldiers and veterans live a better life. Call 800-917-1544. That's 800-917-1544. Together, we can make a difference.
Looking for something different? But you want something that's quick and affordable that won't set you back in the pocketbook? Then you need to head down to Brothers Pizza and Courthouse Pub right next to the Center County Courthouse on North Allegheny Street in downtown Belfast. They feature only the best pizza in town and also the finest selections from Robin Hood Brewing Company, University Wines, and Big Spring Liquors. Come celebrate Happy Hour in Happy Valley every Tuesday through Saturday from 4 to 6 at Brothers Pizza and Courthouse Pub in downtown Belfast.
Eating healthy is important for us and for our animals. The Center Hall Farm Store knows this. Local, fresh ingredients are put in all of our feeds. Expert care from people ingrained in our community. If you haven't been to the Center Hall Farm Store yet, do yourself and your animals a favor and stop on in at 110 Allison Street in Center Hall. See what a difference the local touch can make in providing real quality. And be sure to check out our website at centerhallfarmstore.com.
It's a busy world. Too many things grabbing your attention. On the radio, you want a show that talks to what you're thinking about. And yeah, some laughs to break up the stress. That show is Let's Talk. Weekdays, 8 to 10 a.m. here on 98.7 The Fox. This is Scott Giese. Join me and Jeff Byers for talk every day on the topics that interest you, that make you angry, that make you want to know more. Big topics, local topics, news or sports, and your calls and comments. Start your day with a show to get the brain cells firing. Let's Talk. Weekdays, 8 to 10 a.m. here on 98.7 The Fox.
Getting ready for tailgating or weekend? You need to stock up at the 64 Beer Store near Lamar. The 64 Beer Store has the coldest beer in the county. Over 400 selections, including IPAs, ciders, Oktoberfest beers, cocktails, and wines. The 64 Beer Store carries ready-to-drink cocktails. Conveniently located near Lamar on Nittany Valley Drive, just a half mile north from I-80 on Route 64. On the way from here to there. Stop in today.
You know, a hotel's just a hotel, but a house is a home. Decorated to perfection with pride, love, and attention to detail. That's what you'll experience when you stay at the Keller House. A delightful 1887 home in the village of Center Hall, Pennsylvania. The Keller House is not just a bed and breakfast. The moment you open the door, you'll be amazed at the historic, unique, cozy feel of this beautiful Victorian home. The Keller House is just minutes away from State College. So if you're going to the game, turn your trip into a mini vacation. The Keller House Bed and Breakfast. Oh, did I mention the delicious homemade cooked breakfasts? So good. Plus, you can choose from one of five themed bedrooms, each with its own bathroom and a central sitting room downstairs. Wireless high-speed internet is also provided. So, whether you're by yourself or bringing the whole family, the Keller House Bed and Breakfast in Center Hall will be your home away from home. KellerHouseBB.com. That's KellerHouseBB.com. 109 West Church Street, Center Hall.
A new head coach. Thank you, Mariah.
The song that keeps Mariah Carey on the map.
Yes, indeed. That's how you know it's Christmas season now.
Okay.
All right, let's take a check of the sports scene. And, yeah, no head coach announced yet for the Nittany Lions. The search continues. Pretty much everybody, national media, locally, fans, All agreeing. Packraft probably knows what he's doing. Let's just wait and see, and we'll be pleasantly.
Oh yeah, yeah. You're buying that, huh?
What is that? Not the not what's happening.
I think it's the opposite. Huh. Anyway,
yeah, we will see when we shall see. I guess, but yeah, search continuing. Names being thrown out there. Have no idea, and I don't know that anybody does. Including Pat Kraft right now. I don't know. Very, very interesting times around Penn State football and Penn State athletics at the moment. Meanwhile, the Big Ten yesterday handed out its annual football awards for defense, special teams, and some of the individual awards. Indiana's Kurt Cignetti has been named the conference's Coach of the Year,
yes,
after he guided the Hoosiers to their first ever unblemished record during the regular season. Ohio State's Caleb Downs was named the Big Ten Defensive Player of the Year. Some other award winners yesterday include Iowa's Jack Campbell. He is the conference's Leadership Award winner. Will Shields of Nebraska, the Humanitarian Award winner. Nick Radisic of Indiana is the Kicker of the Year. And Michigan State's Ryan Eckley is the Punter of the Year. Caden McDonald of Ohio State is the Defensive Lineman of the Year, while the Buckeyes' Arvell Reese is the Linebacker of the Year, with Downs, of course, the Defensive Back of the Year. Caden Wedgen of Iowa, the Return Specialist of the Year. Penn State, and I had a buddy of mine ask, and it is a good question, and I don't know. Penn State did not have a defensive player on the first or second team. Has that happened previously since Penn State joined the conference?
Maybe not.
Hard pressed to think that it had.
Somebody do some research there.
Yeah, nobody for Penn State again on the first or second team. Edge rusher Denai Dennis Sutton did earn third team honors for the Nittany Lions by both the coaches and the media, while linebacker Amari Campbell is a third team selection by the media and honorable mention by the coaches. Penn State did have four others earn honorable mention by both in A.J. Harris, King Max, Akee Wheatley, and Zane Durant. Davian Collins also earned honorable mention by the media. Gabe Wosu was a third-team punter by the coaches and was honorable mention by the media. Nicholas Singleton, an honorable mention kick returner by both the coaches and the media. Ryan Barker was an honorable mention kicker by both. And Tyler Duzanski, this is interesting. Tyler Duzanski was an honorable mention long snapper by the media. Not listed anywhere by the coaches, and yet he is one of three finalists for the National Long Snapper of the Year. Did not make the first three teams
in the
Big Ten. Almost like there's a lot of subjectivity when it comes to long snapping.
No.
The All-Big Ten teams on offense will be announced later today. The 6-6 Nittany Lions, of course, are also still awaiting word on their bull fate for the season.
Wait a minute. What, you missed one.
Yeah.
The kick blocker of the year. Where's that?
Yeah, they
don't
need to add that in there,
don't
they?
They should have that in there.
That would be helpful.
That'd be Denai Dennis Sutton, right?
The Penn State football coaching search continues, the first day of the signing period was yesterday. And going through all of the prospects, listen, I did a deep dive on this. I really think Jackson Ford is going to end up being the best defensive prospect out of the signees yesterday. And keep your eye on Peyton Falzone. I'm going with him as the best offensive prospect signed by the Nittany Lions yesterday. I keep an eye on those two guys out of this signing class for Penn State. Jackson Ford on defense, Peyton Falzone on offense. Those are the two guys I'd be keeping an eye on out of the signees yesterday. The complete list of Penn State signees would be Jackson Ford of Malvern Prep and Peyton Falzone of Nazareth.
That's it. Two guys.
Huh.
Now it does continue.
Now they're both 4-star recruits.
Oh, they're great.
We got that going for us.
Yeah.
Jackson Ford, 6'4" tall, 240 pounds, and again, very good prospect. Falzone rated as the 20th best quarterback prospect in this year's class by 247 Sports Composite. So we got that.
Now he was originally coming here, then changed his mind, went to Auburn. Right? Auburn fired their coach, so now he's coming back.
There you go.
Okay. And that's it.
Well, and interestingly, Falzone had originally was a Virginia Tech prospect with Brett Pry, and then Pry got let go, and he opened back up, and now he is swimming against the tide. Flipping from Virginia Tech to Penn State, there were 11 players in all that flipped from Penn State to Virginia Tech.
No surprise. None.
Yep. It's it is going to be an interesting, at least next year, and maybe next few years for Penn State on the college football scene. Yeah, we'll see. Penn State right now, if you want to try to depress yourself, look at some of the teams that Penn State is behind
in the recruiting
rankings. Good heavens. Now, let's wait and see how everything shakes out. But, man, in the moment, this is a disaster. I mean, there's really no other way to put it in the moment. Now, once a new head coach is signed, assuming that a new head coach will be signed, right? then, you know, we'll see what transpires from that point forward. But two recruits, not good.
Or is it all pointless? I have a thought, but I know I know you have more. Go.
Yeah, Penn State swimming and diving teams are competing at the U.S. Open in Austin, Texas. That competition will run through Saturday. A couple of intra-county matchups in boys basketball last night to start the season. Phillipsburg Osceola edging Bald Eagle area 57-54 in Wingate. Penns Valley taking the season opener from St. Joseph's last night 72-44. The Rams jumping out to a 21-8 lead after the first quarter, and they just kept rolling from there. Penns Valley's Noah Patel with 18 points to lead all scorers. The Rams also got 15 points from Julian Battaglia and 13 from Fletcher Ironside. Also, Chase Lukovich led the Wolfpack with 13 points in last night's contest. Also, boys basketball tonight, it'll be Bellefonte at Huntington. That'll be a 7:30 tip. In girls basketball last night, Phillipsburg Osceola defeating Bald Eagle area 38-21. Emily Guskey had 21 points and Casey Hughes added 15. Well, that's like 36 and Phillipsburg Osceola had 38. It's almost like Hughes and Guskey would be the two key scorers there for the Lady Mounties.
Yes.
See what I did?
Wow.
Penns Valley defeated Bellwood Annis last night, 68-56. Ellie Romig led the way for the Lady Rams with 23 points. Eldenjus added 19, and Paige Johnson had 16. Penns Valley now 1-1 on the young season, and Penns Valley will visit Chestnut Ridge tomorrow night. Bellefonte lost its season opener at Huntington 48-4. Bellefonte will be at Richland tomorrow night.
Are you really?
Yeah.
Okay.
Not a great start.
Oh boy.
State College wrestling team will open its season after, you know, it was supposed to Tuesday, but you know, the whole weather
snowed.
State College will now open its season tonight at Central Dauphin. Bellefonte will be at Huntington tonight. It'll be Penns Valley hosting Mifflin County. all of tonight's high school wrestling action gets underway at 7 o'clock. Penn State wrestling team remains number one in this week's Intermat rankings. The Nittany Lions have all 10 starters ranked, with four Nittany Lions ranked number one in their respective weight class. In Shane Van Ness at 149, Mitchell Messenbrink at 165, Levi Haynes at 174, and Josh Barr at 197. Also ranked for the Nittany Lions is Luke Lilladol, second at 125, Rocco Welsh, fourth at 184, Aaron Nagow, who is out with an injury here, is still eighth at 141, Cole Marisola, 10th at heavyweight, Marcus Blaze, 11th at 133, and P.J. Duke is 15th, now at 157. The Nittany Lions will be looking for their 73rd consecutive dual meet victory when they wrestle at Drexel tomorrow night. Penn State women's volleyball team remains 25th in the coaches' poll this week. The Nittany Lions are an 8 seed in the NCAA tournament and will face South Florida in the opening round tomorrow. That match in Austin, Texas will get underway at 5:30 tomorrow evening, with the winner advancing to play in the second round Saturday night, likely against the number 1 seed, Texas. The Penn State men's hockey team holding steady at number 9 in the coaches' poll this week. Michigan remains number one, with Wisconsin second and Michigan State third. The Nittany Lions are 11-5 on the season and are off until after the new year. Penn State women's hockey team holding steady at number 4 in the coaches poll this week after suffering its first loss of the season, but earning a split in the series at now 6th ranked Northeastern last weekend. Wisconsin is number 1 in the rankings, with Ohio State second and Minnesota third. The 17-1 Nittany Lions are off until December 30th, when the team will host Cornell. Penn State men's lacrosse team announcing its 2026 schedule, featuring 6 home games at Panzer Stadium. Of the 13 opponents on the slate, the Nittany Lions will face off against 9 teams that finished in the top 20 of last year's coaches' poll. The Nittany Lions will begin the new year with a pair of home games hosting Colgate at 12 noon on February 1st, and then following that up with a game against Villanova on February 7th at 1 p.m. The other home games will be against Yale on February 28th, versus Cornell on March 7th, against Maryland on March 21st, and then the home finale will be against Michigan on April 11th. The Philadelphia Flyers defeated the Buffalo Sabres last night 5-2. Philadelphia scored 3 goals in the first period and tacked on 2 more in the second. 3 Flyers players each had a goal and an assist in Bobby Brink, Noah Cates, and Travis Konechny. The Flyers move into a tie with the Devils for 3rd in the Metropolitan Division. Tonight, the beloved Pittsburgh Penguins return to the ice. Pittsburgh will visit the Lightning in Tampa. Face-off is at 7 o'clock. And the 76ers tonight will host the Warriors in a 7 o'clock tip-off. Well, lots of speculation out there about the Penn State coaching job. One of the more interesting suggestions, Steelers legendary quarterback Ben Roethlisberger says, you know, maybe it is time. He agrees, seems to be joining the growing chorus that might be time for Mike Tomlin to move on from the Pittsburgh Steelers after 19 seasons with the Steelers. And Ben Roethlisberger saying he still thinks Tomlin is a great coach, but, you know, maybe it's just time to get a fresh start. Where or where does Ben Roethlisberger think he could get that fresh start? Big Ben suggests,
yeah, here.
Let's come to Happy Valley. Mike Tomlin is head coach of the Nittany Lions.
Oh, boy.
And then, you know, let the Steelers go find somebody else. That, I feel fairly confident in saying, is not happening.
There have been wild ones. It's getting wilder.
Yeah, that one's pretty out there. Let's head to the phones before we head into the break. Good morning. You're live on Let's Talk.
Hey, it's Meeting Guy.
Meeting Guy, how are you?
Hi. Good, yourself. Hey, you know, this coaching search and all the stuff around it just keeps getting better and better and better.
Yes.
You know what I found out yesterday? What Pat Kraft's buyout on his contract is?
What? I have no idea.
$14 million.
Oh, is that
14?
It?
14. Wow.
Yeah, you can Google this and you'll find a statecollege.com article.
Oh, okay.
Last summer, they extended him to 2032, fully guaranteed at $2.25 million a year.
Okay.
Who writes these contracts? Honest to God.
Desperate people. How about that?
Well,
desperate people.
I think people who, frankly, don't have a lot of business sense and don't think they have any leverage in conversations. So,
You know what? I don't think I'd argue that. I mean, Franklin's was like words of around $50 million, which, thank God, I guess he got his Virginia Tech job, so that got lowered to $9 million. Mm-hmm. Only $9 million, folks.
Yikes. But we all knew that James would get another job.
Oh, sure.
Paying him a lot of money so that our buyout would not really be that much. But where's Pat going to go work?
Well, that is a good question.
I'm not even getting into this one. I'm letting this one alone.
So, yeah, I just, like I said, it just keeps getting, the entertainment value is just unbelievable.
It is getting pretty high right now. I would be more than happy with Terry Smith at this point, and I, regardless of the optics and whatever else, at this point, unless there is that rabbit in the hat that he's ready to pull out, and man, I mean, I am hoping against hope that's the case. I don't have a good feeling that that's what's happening.
It sure doesn't look like it.
No, but I mean, if that's the case, again, I will all have to happily eat some crow here and give him his props. Assuming that's not the case, however, yes, let's get Terry Smith on board here, and let's at least get this thing heading forward and have some stability once again within the program.
Yeah. I just thought a $14 million buyout was a little salty for an athletic director.
Yeah, that does seem.
I mean, you got to go check out other schools.
Yeah,
as best you can, and you know what are their ADs getting? I have nobody ever talks about what the AD makes. All right, so check out Ohio State, check out Michigan, check out, I mean, every major school you can think of. If that information's online, dig it up and see if there's, I'm going to guess it's probably comparable.
Yep, you're probably right. So
all right.
Anyway, hey, have a good day, guys.
All right. Hey, you as well.
Go to your next meeting, our meeting
yes,
guy.
Indeed.
All right, we're going to take a break. We're going to come back. We've got some good talk here, Belfont, Victorian Christmas. Sports gambling, folks, I swear, this is one we really need to pay attention to. Yeah. If you're any kind of a sports fan, because this could affect lots of different things, all right? And then we'll have some open line time later on. You're listening to Let's Talk on 98.7 The Fox. We'll take this break and we'll come right back.
We don't just talk sports, we live it. Sports Radio 98.7
The Fox. The Fox Sports Weekend
is your Sunday home for the National Football League. All of the big teams.
Spins into the end zone. Touchdown, Kansas City.
Big names.
Burrow throws over the middle into coverage, and it is caught. Unbelievable.
It's the NFL. Sundays
on Central PA Sports Authority.
The Fox Sports Weekend. Sports Radio 98.7. The Fox. Fox Sports.
You know, a hotel's just a hotel, but a house is a home.
Decorated to perfection with pride, love, and attention to detail. That's what you'll experience when you stay at the Keller House.
A delightful 1887 home in the village of Center Hall, Pennsylvania.
The Keller House is not just a bed and breakfast. The moment you open the door, you'll be amazed at the historic, unique, cozy feel of this beautiful Victorian home. The Keller House is just minutes away from State College. So if you're going to the game, turn your trip into a mini vacation. The Keller House Bed and Breakfast. Oh, did I mention the delicious homemade cooked breakfasts?
Mm-mm-mm.
so good. Plus, you can choose from one of five themed bedrooms, each with its own bathroom and a central sitting room downstairs. Wireless high-speed internet is also provided. So, whether you're by yourself or bringing the whole family, the Keller House Bed and Breakfast in Center Hall will be your home away from home. KellerHouseBB.com. That's KellerHouseBB.com. 109 West Church Street, Center Hall.
When winter's at its worst, snowplow professionals need the best. That's why your local Boss dealer has the ultimate lineup of snow and ice solutions you need. Front to back, Boss leads with advanced truck plows and spreaders, compact equipment, heavy equipment, and time-saving tools to clear any surface area. Keep them open with a Boss snowplow, built to back you up.
Maxwell Truck and Equipment, 1705 East Trout Road, State College. Call them at 814-234-2672.
Join us for the Goon and Ironhead Show, Tuesday and Thursday afternoons from 2 to 4, right here on Sports Radio 98.7 The Fox. Goon loves Philadelphia sports, I love Pittsburgh sports, we both love Penn State sports, and we both just like talking sports, and you never know where the discussion will take us. That's part of the fun. Join us for the good times, Tuesday and Thursday afternoon from 2 to 4, right here on Sports Radio 98.7 The Fox.
Now, a fraternity or sorority is a brotherhood or sisterhood formed around common goals and aspirations. These men and women make a commitment to each other for life. The members that form a fraternity or sorority share their efforts, friendship, and knowledge, but they should never, ever look the same. That's why there's PAMP, Printing and More Printing. All kinds of t-shirts for all of your group's events, with the artwork as wild as... artwork as visually stimulating as your mind's eye sees it.
For quality you can see and wear, remember PAMP for customized t-shirts, letterheads, envelopes, magnetic signs, and business cards. PAMP has a low minimum of 12 shirts for printing, and no minimum on embroidered items. They don't charge art fees or setup fees. Pricing is simple and easy, and they have a quick turnaround. They're open Monday through Friday from 7 a.m. to 5 p.m. Located at 136 South Harrison Road, Pleasant Gap. For more information, call 814-359-2447.
It's the most wonderful time of the year.
It's Let's Talk here on a Thursday morning. Jeff and Scott with you. We will have open phone time coming up at the very end of this morning's big show.
Boy, you're pulling out all the good ones.
Oh, I'm telling you.
Mariah Carey, Andy Williams. Wow, I can't wait to see
it. It's that time of the year.
It's that time of the year. And so we want to welcome Phil Breidenbaugh from Bellefonte Victorian Christmas. Phil, welcome.
Well, thank you. Glad to be here.
Thanks for coming in. This is always a terrific event. I don't know. Can you find a way to freeze the snow so it hangs around until next weekend?
It is a wonderful setting right now.
Yeah. Well, we like snow when it's here, but we prefer it not to be on the ground, just in the air, because in the ground sometimes can make it more challenging for walking around.
The sled dog races or something. Isn't that in here? I don't know.
No.
All right, let's get some basics. First off, Phil, tell us something about yourself, if you would.
Yeah. I live in Bellefonte. I actually moved in here from Lancaster, PA a few years ago. My wife and I started a bed and breakfast in Bellefonte, and I was able to get involved in some of the activities in the Bellefonte area. I really enjoy participating and with all the other folks and organizations that put together many of the activities that go on in our town, and we think it has a lot to show off and for other people to visit and see. So it's been fun getting involved in a new way.
Okay. Let's start with basics, I guess. The Bellefonte Victorian Christmas is not this weekend, but next weekend. Go over some of the basics, like dates and stuff.
Yeah, sure. It's next weekend. It's always the second full weekend in December, so it's kind of a clean way to remember it. So it's next weekend, Friday night, the 12th, 13th, and 14th. So we have stuff going on all 3 days. The opening is at 6 p.m. on Friday night. We have an open. It's outside of Howard Street, if you know where the Miles Humes house is right there. We have an opening on the street there. We have a local magician that comes in. We have some actors that are there. The Bellefonte Presbyterian Church and Lion Club help provide some food and hot drinks for the street. And then we have some music. The Victorian Brass plays some music off the porch, and then the mayor makes a proclamation, and that sort of kicks it off. That night we do have a free concert at the Bellefonte Presbyterian Church. The theme for this year's Victorian Christmas is It's a Wonderful Life in Bellefonte. And so we have loosely tied some activities to the movie, which is most people are familiar with. And we have a Jimmy Stewart impersonator that's coming in to do a short little one-person skit in the church before the concert called It's Wonderful Life in Bellefonte. So we're sort of very interested in seeing that. I think that'll be fun. And that then right after him is the Bellefonte Victorian Christmas Choir does their annual concert. So that should be a fun kickoff.
I was going to say, if you're bringing Jimmy Stewart back from the dead, now that would be quite a twist.
Yeah, right? No, just his impersonator. It's sort of, from Indiana, PA, because they have such a big following of
Okay. Now, for folks who aren't familiar, this is the Bellefonte Victorian Christmas. What's the Victorian angle? Why that?
Yeah, sure. Well, the town has a lot of Victorian architecture, and sure, that kind of leads the way. And this is our 44th year, and obviously I've only been involved in the last four or so I wasn't involved at the very beginning. But, they're really trying to capitalize on that, and there was a period of time where many people dressed up in Victorian outfits, and we still do have that to some extent, but that's somewhat faded some, and there are still some people that do walk around. But it's really trying to capitalize on some of the Victorian architecture that's in the town and sort of that time period.
All right. So the opening is on Friday. Now, folks, again, the 12th, not this Friday, not tomorrow, the 12th. What are some other things besides once you get into Saturday and Sunday?
Sure, yeah. Well, I think I would characterize it in a couple ways. We do have ticketed events, but many of those are actually sold out at this point. But there's many things for people to do. So I would characterize it in it's a great shopping and browsing opportunity. We have a lot of unique shops in Bellefonte where people can visit. We also put on an arts and crafts show by the local Bellefonte Historical and Cultural Arts. Does an arts and craft show inside the Y, but then we also have an outside winter market in Talleyrand Park on Saturday, and of course they're all free and you can browse around all three of those. There's also the Lambert Hall has a craft show too, so there's plenty of places to browse and shop. The other thing I would highlight from a free perspective is we have music all weekend. I'm already mentioned about the concert on Friday night. Then on Saturday at the Catholic Church, we have what's called Youth in Harmony. So we have some young musicians. So we call it the Next Generation Musicians have concerts during the day there. And then we have a new thing this year we're doing is called the Christmas Sound Walk. And we're trying to take a look at we have some, historical churches in Bellefonte. And we've set up a sort of a progressive tour. So at noon at the Trinity Church, they'll have a historical talk about the building and then a concert following it. And then at 2 o'clock, it moves to the Episcopal Church where they'll talk about their church building and some historical aspects of their church building. And then a concert that they've planned, and then moves on to the United Church of Christ just around the corner, and they talk about their church. So there's some really unique buildings, and we're trying to give an opportunity where some people can see some of those buildings and really engage in the history and also hear some music. And there, of course, there'll be refreshments too. And you get warm. If it's cold, you can get in a church and be warm.
Don't forget the refreshments.
Yeah, and then on Sunday, there's additional concerts that are available. The community band plays at the high school at 2 o'clock. Faith Church has a musical at 4 o'clock. And then the Catholic Church has their parish at 6 o'clock, their parish concert. So, that music theme kind of runs through there. It's all free, and so people can see that if they don't have tickets. There are still a couple of things that have tickets. The train, we do train rides that weekend. They're a huge hit. I think there's not as many on Sunday maybe, but I think there's still some on Saturday, so we encourage people to take a look at that. That's also always a very popular event. The carriage rides, there's only a few slots left. They're mostly filled up. Victorian Teas, the bed and breakfast host Victorian Teas on Saturday and Sunday, and I know there's a few slots left there, but some of the other ticket events are sold out at this point.
Not surprising.
you brought us a there's a program. You brought us a program. By the way, where can people get a program?
The programs are going to be in various locations. I would hit the grocery stores in the area. They're typically a high traffic area, but there. If you go to our website at www.belfontvictoriancristmas.com, it has all the information there. And then there's a drop down menu for visitor information, and the guide is there electronically. You can pull it up and look at it online if you couldn't find one, but all the information, the guide is, you know, sitting is on the website too. And then the other place is if you would follow us at Facebook, some of the updates, and if there's any late changes, often it might appear there first.
Okay. Yeah, I've got a program here. I'm a sucker for trains.
Yeah.
I love the trains, and the trains are in here, and I'm like, oh, yes.
Yeah, one other train thing that's very popular is at Bell Mercantile. In the back, there's the Curtain and Armor Model Railroad that's put together. That's been going on for several years. It just improves every year. Dave Provan, one of the co-chairs, puts a lot of work. Him and his other friend, Dave, they make a really neat. If you're in town, you do not want to miss that. It's for adults and kids. It's quite large, and they've added things every year. It gives a look of old town with multiple trains, and there's I won't say it, but there's even a new surprise transportation mode there that's in the town this year. So I would definitely want you to highlight that. From if you're a train enthusiast, don't miss that.
Okay, come on, you can't leave us hanging.
I think I am.
What is this?
Yeah, it's if you go in, I think you'll pick it up. I don't think you'll miss it if you show up.
It'll be pretty obvious.
It will be obvious, and it's a certain heritage to Belfont. If you know some of the heritage of Belfont and some of what's going on, I think you'll be able to pick up it. I'd use the hint airmail.
There you go.
Oh, I thought it was the Victorian warp drive.
No.
Rocket ship or something. Okay.
No.
We haven't gotten that far yet.
Not yet.
That's fine. How many people are involved with this, Phil?
Well, you know, we look at it as a community event. In our core group of planning, that we start planning, we'll have after the event in January, we'll have like kind of a wrap-up, but we'll be starting the planning, in May. And that core group is probably 7-8 people. But all the things that going on, there's an event called Breakfast with Santa. It's up at the Faith Church. They have kids in there, breakfast. They have Santa. They have crafts. And we really don't do anything but help sponsor some of the activities, from funding. But they put all the effort together and take care of it. And so just like that, there's many other the ticketed events where people are putting in a lot of effort outside our group. So we try to look at it as sort of a clearinghouse where we try to gather everything that's going on in the community for that weekend and publicize it, try to communicate it accurately and make sure it's available. CPI does Festival of Trees. It's an event over there, a fundraiser for the students and programs at CPI. And so we don't do a lot except for just publicize it and try to make sure people know about it so they don't miss it.
Yeah, it's fantastic. As you said, just truly a community event, truly for everybody.
And so many people involved. So to answer your question, it's a little hard to say, hey, there's like 8 of us that maybe try to pull all that together and do some of the core planning, but there's many other organizations and people in the community that help rally around and make sure it's a worthwhile and a rewarding way to spend your weekend.
Now, you mentioned there's some ticketed events that are already sold out, but there are some other ticketed events that still have, I guess, openings, right?
Yeah.
And would that be on the website?
It would be. And if you look at the website, you can see the ones that are sold out. I kind of mentioned them, I think, already, the Victorian Tees and the trains. And there are a few carriage rides left. And when I say probably half a dozen to a dozen left over the course of 200 and some. So those are most of them. I'm thinking of the ones that remain.
Wow.
But take a look at that. That will give you the most updated ideas about it. I mean, Breakfast with Santa has a ticket, but it's at the door and there's never a problem. People can get in. So some of them, if they're sold out, it says there. So we don't want people to be frustrated to try to go to it and see that it's not available.
But there are still plenty of activities if folks just show up.
That's right.
Plenty of things to do next
weekend. That's
right,
yeah. Yeah, so I try to highlight the opening, all those concerts, the browsing, the shopping, the train layout. You know, Santa comes to town. If you have kids, he'll be in his Santa house all weekend. Or if you're a grown-up and you want to see him, you have a special gift you're wishing for this year, you can see him there. There's a gingerbread house contest that'll be on display. So there's plenty of things to see and do. The one thing I would highlight on Saturday, and if you know in Bellefonte, it's, you know, can be, parking can be a challenge, particularly when there's a lot of people. We do have free parking up at the high school. And then we have a shuttle that runs down to the from the high school downtown to drop you off. And then we have an in-town trolley that'll move around downtown to help people move around. We know it's cold and the town's a little hilly sometimes. So we have some transportation there that's free on Saturday to help with the parking.
So it would be wise, I'm thinking, to park at Bellefonte High School and use the shuttle service.
Unless you're lucky and you find one at the municipal or on the streets, but you definitely ought to plan for that if you didn't find anything, because it gets a little crowded downtown, particularly a little later in the day. Yeah, that's just meant to relieve some of that traffic challenge.
My lottery ticket totally struck out again last night, so I'm not lucky, Phil.
Okay. All right. Or maybe you're due.
Take the shuttle, all right? Mention the website address one more time.
Yeah, it's www.bellefontevictoriancristmas.com, and we go ahead and look at that. Take a look at our sponsors. You know, we always want to remember the folks that supported us. They're on there. The Happy Valley Venture Bureau has, you know, given us a grant to help promote the activity. That's been very supportive. North Shore Railroad's one of our corporate sponsors. Cool. So, you know, the trains are involved there. And so take a look at that. They've been very, very supportive. And, you know, talk about community support, the sponsorship and the folks that advertise in our booklets are one of our – they're part of the team.
Well, Phil, good luck next weekend.
Thanks. Yeah, hope to see you there.
It's supposed to snow again next week.
Yeah, we're already looking at contingencies. That's you mentioned about the snow. Yeah, even the snow and the temperature. The temperature's supposed to be cold, so melting might be challenging. So
okay.
Have to look at that.
Very Victorian, I suppose. Hey, thanks for coming in. We appreciate it.
Yes, thanks for having
me.
Thank
you.
All right, let's take a break here. All right, we'll come back. Now we're going to go to sports gambling. That's a nice segue. I don't know.
Yeah.
All right, you're listening to Let's Talk on 98.7 The Fox. Don't go anywhere. We'll come right back.
Sports Radio 98.7 The Fox. Fox Sports.
Bigger and better than ever, it's the 2026 Happy Valley Comic Convention, February 28th and March 1st at Nittany Valley Sports Center. 100,000 square feet of fun with special guest Tricia Helfer, the gorgeous Cylon from Battlestar Galactica, and Tracy Coco from Star Trek, along with actors from Pokemon, Dragon Ball Z, and other Japanese series. Collectibles, discussions, artist costume contest, and much more. Get your tickets starting now at $8 at HappyValleyComicCon.com. Kids 10 and under free on Sunday. HappyValleyComicCon.com. Made possible by a grant from the Happy Valley Adventure Bureau.
Eating healthy is important for us and for our animals. The Center Hall Farm Store knows this. Local, fresh ingredients are put in all of our feeds. Expert care from people ingrained in our community. If you haven't been to the Center Hall Farm Store yet, do yourself and your animals a favor and stop on in at 110 Allison Street in Center Hall. See what a difference the local touch can make in providing real quality. And be sure to check out our website at centerhallfarmstore.com.
Looking for something different? But you want something that's quick and affordable that won't set you back in the pocketbook? Then you need to head down to Brothers Pizza and Courthouse Pub right next to the Center County Courthouse on North Allegheny Street in downtown Bellefonte. They feature only the best pizza in town and also the finest selections from Robin Hood Brewing Company, University Wines, and Big Spring Liquors. Come celebrate happy hour in Happy Valley every Tuesday through Saturday from 4 to 6 at Brothers Pizza and Courthouse Pub in downtown Bellefonte.
Getting ready for tailgating or weekend? You need to stock up at the 64 Beer Store near Lamar. The 64 Beer Store has the coldest beer in the county. Over 400 selections, including IPAs, ciders, Oktoberfest beers, cocktails, and wines.
The 64 Beer Store carries ready-to-drink cocktails.
Conveniently located near Lamar on Nittany Valley Drive, just a half mile north from I-80 on Route 64. On the way from here to there. Stop in today.
When winter's at its worst, snowplow professionals need the best. That's why your local Boss dealer has the ultimate lineup of snow and ice solutions you need. Front to back, Boss leads with advanced truck plows and spreaders, compact equipment, heavy equipment, and time-saving tools to clear any surface area. Keep them open with a Boss snowplow, built to back you up.
Maxwell Truck and Equipment, 1705 East Trout Road, State College. Call them at 814-234-2672.
Your sports radio.
Broadcasting live, loud and proud from Central PA Sports Authority.
Woo-hoo!
WFXS America.
The Foxy Knowledge.
It's all cold down on the beach. The wind's whipping down the boardwalk.
I know what time it is. That time of the year. Name the artist. That's hard to tell.
You guys all been good and practicing real hard.
Need a more distinctive voice.
Clients, you've been rehearsing real hard now. So stand up and bring your new saxophone.
Bruce, are you gonna sing? Oh, he gets to it. He gets to it.
Patience. Not many of you guys in trouble out here.
Yeah, you better watch out. You better not cry. You better not bow. I'm telling you why. Santa Claus is coming to town. Santa Claus is coming to town. Santa Claus is coming to town.
And hopefully he's bringing a new coach with him. Just saying. Come on, Santa. Come to town and bring a wonderful new coach with you.
If we don't have a coach by Christmas, all right, we are screwed. All right, anyway. Hey, welcome. It's Let's Talk here for a Thursday morning. We will have some open line time later on because our next guest has to teach a class. Seriously, John?
That's
you have to go
case.
Teach a class.
A real job.
Oh, yes. For goodness sake.
That.
Well, you know, a couple times a week.
Real close to the mic there, right? We're joined by Dr. John Affleck, who we've had you on before.
Yep.
From the Belisario College of Communications. Love that title.
Yes.
What do you do over there? Tell us what you do.
I run the Curley Center for Sports Journalism. So if students are interested in sports and communication and a career that way, or they just love to do it and make the content, then they come see me.
How many kids do you have?
It's honestly about doubled in the past 3 or 4 years. We've done a lot of cool things, and people are just really, I mean, sports is a one-way accordion. People love it and keep loving it, and so we're just rolling. We're about 100 students are in the center right now.
Holy mackerel,
yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh, I had no idea. And the reason that it's booming is what? People are more interested in sports now, or...?
Yes, and, you know, if you have a choice, if you're 20 and you have a choice between covering the city council meeting and covering the Penn State basketball game, what are you going to pick?
Yep. Okay. State College Borough Council, you did not hear that. Okay? You did not hear
sorry,
that.
Sorry.
Anyway. Well, anyway, I asked you, you know, I reached out to you the other day because last week I'm watching, you know, news on TV, and this story comes up about sports gambling, which is starting to become a pretty hot issue, and your face comes popping up on the screen.
Yep.
All right. Now, what? Tell us that story. Why did they contact you?
Well, the secret behind the scenes story is the producer of the segment is a Curley Center alumnus. Yes, that's right. We put him everywhere, and so when my name popped up on an article about sports gambling, he reached out. And so that was So that was really a cool moment. I got about 10 seconds of airtime in between a bunch of congressmen and senators. So there we go.
You were far more interesting.
No doubt.
Now, what was the, I mean, what's the gist of either that story or what's the gist of what's going on with this issue of sports gambling right now?
Sure. What's starting to get some attention in sports gambling is the issue, particularly of what's called prop betting or live betting, and the tremendous growth that has happened in sports gambling that maybe people didn't realize, and some of the potential harm to the games and to the people gambling that are going on right now.
Okay. And that doesn't sound good.
No, it's probably not so great.
Okay. I mean, can you, for folks who don't follow this, and we've mentioned this, we've talked about this a number of times, some maybe like recent examples. There was one in baseball, there's something going on in basketball. What's going on?
Right. The thing that sparked all this is a couple of scandals that are happening. One in the NBA where three different people, including Chauncey Billups from Portland, the coach there, have been charged with various ways of passing along information that can be used by bettors. And then in baseball, a couple of pitchers from the Cleveland Guardians were, and this will sort of illustrate what's going on, and then I can get into it, is they were accused of deliberately throwing balls as opposed to strikes on a particular pitch in a particular inning when bettors had, like, stacked up, had money on whether the pitch would be a ball or a strike. And that is a perfect example of what's called a prop bet. For people who aren't familiar with sports betting, a prop bet is a bet not on the outcome of a game, like who will win or lose, but one particular thing that happens in a game. Will LeBron James score more or less than 20 points in a basketball game? Will the first pitch in the second inning be a ball or hit batsman, or will it be a strike? And so you can bet on all manner of things. And they're kind of bets that in gambling parlance are sticky. You know, if you're watching the game, you might get into the idea of betting the over-under on the first half results, or the way things are going, I really think this guy's hot, I'm going to bet on him, bet on an individual to top their expected point total. So that's basically what a prop bet is. And the danger with prop bets in particular versus sort of match fixing, where you, in a team sport, you probably need more than one person, you know, basically throwing a ball game. We all remember eight men out from the Black Sox scandal of the 1919, is that, you know, whether someone makes a free throw or not, whether someone, you know, throws a strike or not, is pretty much under their control. And so it poses a bigger sort of danger to the integrity, you know, the integrity of the whole game.
Have we, John, I don't bet. I just don't do that. Mm-hmm. All right. I enjoy the games. Have we always had these bets? I'm talking about prop bets now. I never heard of these until recently. I guess maybe I wasn't paying attention. Have we always had these things?
I mean, it's always hard to say there was a first anything, but prior to 2018 and the Supreme Court decision, which allowed states to decide whether they wanted to legalize sports gambling writ large rather than just like Vegas, betting was through bookies, through illegal bookies exclusively, and they're still in business. But like illegal bets were more along the lines of straight up bets on the results of games or against the spread, meaning the difference in winning and losing in terms of points. And other things like that. Prop bets have really gotten very popular as sports gambling has become legal in now 39 states and the District of Columbia since the Supreme Court decision.
And we're one of the 39, Pennsylvania.
We are. We were an early adopter. We came in pretty the law allowing it was actually approved before the Supreme Court decision came out, so that Pennsylvania was ready to go when this happened.
John, one of the challenges right with this is that, like, sometimes it might be obvious if you have a bunch of money all of a sudden coming in on something, it's like, all right, well, this is a red flag. Like, why in the world would a bunch of people all of a sudden all think, yep, this is going to be a ball or a strike? But one of the, if it's five people that are involved and it's just a ball here, like, this has got to be very difficult to track down. I mean, like, instinctively, we know we're not getting anywhere near all of the incidents, right?
Right.
That are occurring. And the other problem is, I mean, the gamblers or the ne'er-do-wells that are involved here can go after the players for sure. But now we're at a point where you're wondering, like, I mean, we see some calls, and it's like, well, that was way out of the zone. How is he calling that a strike? And immediately now, at least my mind goes to, oh, man, I wonder. Like, I just wonder. Was it just, yep, you missed that one, or is there a reason? I was going to be a strike no matter what. Like, it, and it starts, and so now you have managers, coaches, players, referees, all potential targets or collaborators, however you want to look at it. And, like, my mind explodes because the integrity of the game is just critical for a sports event to be legitimate.
Absolutely it is. You're right that the opportunities are much greater, and we're thinking about it a lot more.
Yeah.
I'm somebody who kind of thinks, you know, people are people wherever they are. So I've had the chance to go to an international conference on sports that dealt with sports corruption this fall in Finland, of all places. And but people from all over Europe were there, and you know, I have a colleague who is from Manchester, England, and she told me she'd done a bunch of research on a growing area of sport, which is women's soccer, right? So she's following English women soccer players as they play in Europe. And so there's a league in Cyprus, the island of Cyprus. And they're, you know, of course they're not getting paid that much. And so they get hit like four or five times a week by gamblers who say, hey, would you throw the match today? You know, that sort of thing. Turkey, I don't know if this is an obscure headline in the States, but in the nation of Turkey, they have the soccer pyramid is League 1, 2, 3, 4 going down. And they shut down this fall. They shut down Leagues 3 and 4, suspended 1,000 players and 150 officials because the games were so rigged. It's I mean, when you look at other countries, I once heard an Australian expert say the big difference between America and, this was before sports gambling became legal, was like the big fantasy in America regarding sports gambling is you don't have fixing or corruption. And I think what these scandals, bringing it all back home, what these scandals are kind of signaling to us, canary in the coal mines, is, hey, this is something we got to watch out for a lot more closely, particularly in a world where last year the handle on legalized sports gambling in America, the handle is how much is wagered, okay, was $150 billion in the United States. So, you know, it's on the leagues, it's on the governing bodies to be vigilant about what's going on, because, you know, the reason we tune in is we don't know the outcome, right? It's not the WWF.
Pro wrestling.
Pro
wrestling. There we go.
Well, and John, to your point with the, because this is the other thing I think about a lot, is that, like I'm assuming the Super Bowl is watched like a hawk, and they're all over the place. But who's paying attention to the Patriot League game on a Tuesday night in women's basketball? And again, that's where you get two people involved.
Right.
Like, how are you going to track? You know, how many investigators can we assign to sports betting? I mean, that's got to be part of it, too, with all of the events we have, and my God, with the mobile apps now and everything, I mean, you can bet on everything. To some extent, we've got to be just throwing our hands up now, no?
I mean, I don't think we've come to grips with exactly what you're saying, how big it is. You know, the analogy I'd use is it's kind of like a pandemic, is that by the time you realize how big it is, it's already behind you. You know, it's already everywhere. And that's exactly it. It isn't that hard to imagine. It's a short walk to imagine, you know, an official in a match that, is in a mid-major conference, two bad teams, it's February, you know, hey, can you, you know, and they're betting the over-under on how many points are going to be scored, you know. Yeah, it's not that hard to imagine. And, another point to all this, just to the vastness of it, when you get into the illegal side, and I know our time is limited, which I could talk all day about this, but like on the illegal side, you can bet on virtually anything. Like you can bet on really low level soccer in Europe. You can bet on all of the games you're thinking of right now. And you can place bets on Little League. Offshore this summer, my students cover the Little League World Series for the Associated Press, and the managers and organizers at Little League World Series were saying, cut this out, offshore betting, you know, operations. You know, you're betting on 12-year-olds. But if you go to Instagram, you can find guys like offering advice on, you know, Northwest versus Southeast in the Little League World Series.
Yeah.
All right, now, John, now you're making me nervous, because that was going to be sort of my next question, all right? You mentioned Major League Baseball, NBA, the professional soccer leagues in Europe. I'm a soccer guy, so I watch some of that stuff over there. And by the way, betting services have been team sponsors.
Yes, that's correct.
In England.
That's right.
They're the team sponsor, and I'm thinking, okay, there's no conflict of interest there, is it? No, holy smokes. Yeah. I was going to say, all right, you work at a college right over here. What about college level? This has got to be going on at the college level. Is there any evidence of malfeasance when it comes to gambling in college level?
There's a really good, I'm not going to be able to give you the details, but around this time last year, Pat Forty and the investigative folks at Sports Illustrated did a really good piece on the teams like right at the bottom of Division I, who like basically their whole team disappeared after halfway through the season. They were losing all their games, and it was a shady situation. So, I mean, there is some evidence, but I mean, the NCAA is not where you're going to get compliance. The NCAA is built to, you know, negotiate TV contracts and hold championships. Its compliance office, including everybody, is around 60 people. And, you know, if you think about, we've got over 300 basketball teams alone, you know, it's they're overwhelmed.
Yeah. And that's got to be, again, I mean, who grows up thinking, you know what I want to get into is investigating sports
right.
gambling. Like,
right.
a lot of different sports jobs out there. I don't know that there's a lot of people that at least that's the, but, I mean, yeah. we need like a lot more investigators.
Yeah, and I think there also needs to be the other thing I'd say, the other piece of the equation is the gamblers themselves. It's really prevalent among young people.
Yeah.
The number of calls to helplines has doubled in Pennsylvania since this has come to pass in the last 5 years. Stronger warnings and letting the consumer know that, you know, there's always a chance it may not be on the up and up. And even if it is, you should think about how you want to spend your money, or, you know, a lot of your money. So that sort of thing would be really helpful.
John, has there been any indication, because I also wonder about, like, whether or not it could happen where you are unintentionally, as an athlete, ultimately giving information that is very helpful in that, all right, I'm talking to my brother, and it's like, oh, man, our star running back twisted his ankle badly. I don't think he's going to play, or at least not much. Like, he's just gipping around, and, you know, don't let that out. And the brother tells somebody, and all of a sudden the wrong person gets that information. Like, that's got to be happening, at least on occasion, no?
It's definitely a possible scenario. I mean, I don't know of a particular example, but, you know, the point you're raising is that information is gold in the gambling world, and anywhere it comes from, you know, is valuable. So, you know, teams need to think about really locking down the info and being clear about what you can and can't say.
Yeah, I think it's why a lot of the leagues now, you have to release, mm-hmm. you know, definitely playing, probable, questionable, and why the questionable status is there.
Yep.
What's going on
there. Exactly.
Now, John, from your knowledge, all right, you're at Penn State. All the Penn State teams. God, could you imagine, like, betting on Penn State fencing? Yeah, I guess there could be. That's kind of crazy. The athletes, do they get some kind of speech? Are they given some kind of rules? Here's what you do. Here's what you don't do. Do they get anything like that?
They do. They do. They get some training on it. I'm not aware of the exact nature of the program, but I know that they do.
Okay.
Yeah.
I mean, has there ever been a whiff, God forbid, a whiff of anything involving Penn State teams, athletes? I've never.
Not
trying to tempt fate.
Not
get off easy.
Not to the best of my knowledge.
How about other colleges, though? There must be.
Sure. I have heard things about other colleges. I don't want to name names, but
all right.
Some of them may be in our conference.
Oh, okay. Now, God forbid you mentioned Little League. High schools?
I've not heard about that, but it's not impossible.
I mean, is there betting on high schools? Maybe not around here, but, you know, I see some of these websites. Here's the top 20 high school basketball teams in America, and there are teams from Florida and California and so on.
I mean, there has to be.
Yeah, exactly. Think about New Jersey as a football, high school football state. It's a fantastic high school football state. And what do we know about New Jersey? So
yeah,
no, you, Sopranos yeah, reference.
Jimmy Hoffa is buried somewhere in New Jersey. That's what I know about New Jersey. Okay, so what's the next step? I mean, you're gonna there's further things you and your group are gonna do following this story.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's something I'm gonna be following closely, and we'll exactly how it's gonna come out in the end. But I'm busy sort of learning what's been studied on this, and I think my role as a journalist is to sort of popularize the knowledge, you know, and just spread the word. I think it's, at the end of the day, to me, as far as my role goes, I feel like it's a little bit like concussions. You know, in the early part of this, in the aughts, the concussion crisis came out, right? And so within 3 or 4 years, everybody knew, you know, knocking your head against another guy going 20 miles an hour isn't so great for your head. And so at that point, you get to make your choice. We live in a country where you can make choices. And so, you know, if you still want to gamble, but, you know, that's your choice. And if it's legal, it's that's the thing. But look, let's be honest about what your chances of winning are, what your chances of losing are, what your chances of, like, losing big are. And, you know, is everything on the up and up? And I think if we're informing the public in a way that they have full access to the knowledge in a way that's easy, maybe not just an 800 number stuffed in the end of a commercial, then that's what the public bodies have to do.
All right. Well, John, you have to go teach a class or something.
Thank you. Thank you for the time. We appreciate it.
Now, the final question, John, since you work at Penn State in sports journalism, you obviously know who the next football coach is going to be, right?
Well, I don't have any special knowledge, but I have a candidate among the ones left who I think would probably do a really good job. I'll go with Al Golden.
Oh.
Yeah.
Okay. Former Nittany Lion.
Former Nittany Lion.
Coaching success.
Coaching success. Right. He turned I'm a Domer. I'm a Notre Dame guy. That's where I went to school.
No.
Sorry.
Okay.
But he turned the defense around. Boy, they were a lot more fierce after he got there. And, you know, I think he might be ready to step back into the college ranks after this. We could do worse.
Okay.
That is for sure.
Very interesting. How much you want to bet on that, John?
Oh, here we go. Here we go.
Oh, we're stopping right there. All right.
Thank you very much.
Go teach your course. Thanks for coming by. Appreciate that. All right, folks, we're going to take a break. Now, don't bet on this. We're going to come back. Okay? I know some of you are disappointed. Let's talk here on 98.7 The Fox. We'll come right back.
I have the over-under at 3 minutes and 5 seconds.
Perfect.
Go!
Your home for the Goon and Ironhead.
Ironhead and the Goon.
Exclusively on Sports Radio 98.7.
The Fox. The Fox Sports Weekend.
Is your Sunday home for the National Football League. All of the big teams.
Spins into the end zone. Touchdown, Kansas City.
Big names.
Burrow throws over the middle into coverage, and it is caught. Unbelievable.
It's the NFL. Sundays
on Central PA Sports Authority.
The Fox Sports Weekend. Sports Radio 98.7. The Fox. Fox Sports.
You know, a hotel's just a hotel. But a house is a home. Decorated to perfection with pride, love, and attention to detail. That's what you'll experience when you stay at the Keller House. A delightful 1887 home in the village of Center Hall, Pennsylvania. The Keller House is not just a bed and breakfast. The moment you open the door, you'll be amazed at the historic, unique, cozy feel of this beautiful Victorian home. The Keller House is just minutes away from State College. So if you're going to the game, turn your trip into a mini vacation. The Keller House Bed and Breakfast. Oh, and did I mention the delicious homemade cooked breakfasts? So good. Plus, you can choose from one of 5 themed bedrooms, each with its own bathroom and a central sitting room downstairs. Wireless high-speed internet is also provided. So, whether you're by yourself or bringing the whole family, the Keller House Bed and Breakfast in Center Hall will be your home away from home. KellerHouseBB.com. That's KellerHouseBB.com. 109 West Church Street, Center Hall. You know, a hotel's just a hotel, but a house is a home. Decorated to perfection with pride, love, and attention to detail. That's what you'll experience when you stay at the Keller House. A delightful 1887 home in the village of Center Hall, Pennsylvania. The Keller House is not just a bed and breakfast. The moment you open the door, you'll be amazed at the historic, unique, cozy feel of this beautiful Victorian home. The Keller House is just minutes away from State College. So if you're going to the game, turn your trip into a mini vacation. The Keller House Bed and Breakfast. Oh, and did I mention the delicious homemade cooked breakfasts? So good. Plus, you can choose from one of 5 themed bedrooms, each with its own bathroom and a central sitting room downstairs. Wireless high-speed internet is also provided. So, whether you're by yourself or bringing the whole family, the Keller House Bed and Breakfast in Center Hall will be your home away from home. KellerHouseBB.com. That's KellerHouseBB.com. 109 West Church Street, Center Hall.
This is Jim Galante from the Keystone Sports Network. For the best Penn State football analysis and commentary, join me, Dustin Hawkinsmith, T. Frank Carr, Andy Shea, and Jeff Byers every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at 3 p.m. right here on Sports Radio 98.7 The Fox and State College. We'll bring you game reviews, player evaluation, recruiting news, and plenty more on the Nittany Lions. That's Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at 3 p.m. right here on Fox Sports 98.7 for the Keystone Kickoff Show.
Out of all the reindeers, you know you're the mastermind.
It is Let's Talk here on a Thursday morning. Jeff and Scott with you. Phone line is open at 814-954-7266. If you want to weigh in on anything, including that their coaching search, which continues. Quick programming note here. I will be out.
What?
Both tomorrow and Monday.
What?
Mr. Giese will just be hanging out here solo for the next couple of programs.
So I'll keep all the donuts.
Okay. I have be in Philadelphia with the wrestling team tomorrow. We leave in a little over 2 hours from now. And then Monday I have to go down and do a recording right at 8 o'clock. I need to be there in, I think, Lancaster County at around 8 o'clock, by 8 o'clock on Monday, so I will be out both tomorrow and Monday. But I'll be back Tuesday,
okay,
ready and raring to go with my list of top coaching candidate prospects.
So when the new coach is named here in the next couple of days, you'll be long gone, won't be able to make any
comments. I may have to call in.
Okay, let's make sure our phones still work.
Uh-huh.
By the way, our phone does still work, all right?
Yeah, 814-954-7266.
Yeah, this gambling stuff, again, folks, watch this. I mean, some of the stories that John shared there, not necessarily from here. This is a global thing. I mean, that story he shared from Turkey, that's incredible. I mean, if you're not familiar, the European soccer leagues are not like ours. They have different levels, like level A, B, C, D, 1, 2, 3, 4. English has the Premier League, then what's called the Championship League. Then they have League 1, League 2, and then, I mean, and each of these leagues has anywhere from 20 to 30 teams or something like that in different towns and such. And the idea is if your team does really well, you can jump up to the next level. If your team is really awful, you drop down to the next level. And apparently in Turkey, he said they have four levels, and they totally suspended levels 3 and 4 because apparently all the games were being thrown. I mean, there was like rampant cheating in not just a team. This was a league.
Yeah,
that's incredible. Wow. I mean, watch out for this stuff, folks. Please, not at the high school level. God forbid, no. Anyway, let's take a call here.
Well, and I'll tell you, the league I've been keeping an eye on lately. Start watching some of this WWE stuff. I'm starting to suspect some things going on in that
wrestling
league,
yeah,
Mr.
Okay.
Giese. Yeah. Let's head to the phones. Good morning. You're live on Let's Talk.
Hey, as a Boy Scout, I went to Gettysburg, and we did both sides, the gray and the blue.
Okay.
And I was always confused with my compass. So somehow I managed to get the badges. Let me think now. Okay, one of the things that I took notice of, because I'm kind of that type of person, I guess I'm an entomologist, but even though, strictly speaking, head louse are not insects, but apparently the guys that rub their hair into a pan, the pan they made their breakfast and dinner in, and they would get the head louse off, and they would bet on which direction the louse would run and which louse would get to the edge of the pan first. So my point is, anything, you can put a bet on anything.
Yes.
And I think that the crux of it is it a fair bet? And then when you start to look into the history of betting, everything gets corrupted. And what's interesting is this little period between about 1920, 1930, believe it or not, hundreds of thousands of people would show up at a stadium to watch a boxing fight. And I'm pretty sure it was all driven by betting. You know what I'm talking about, 1890, 1910, 19. We think our spectacles today are great. Those guys were kicking back in 1910.
Yeah.
110,000 people in the heat, 100-degree heat, to watch a boxing match for 40 rounds.
Yeah, 40.
I'm pretty sure they weren't all just, hey, my man's going to win. No, I'm pretty sure it was all driven by money. And there was that little hiatus in sports between the 20s, 30s, 40s, 50s, 60s, it started to fall apart. But, yeah, we start to talk about this neoclassicism and athleticism and virtues, and we kind of downplayed the betting part of it. But here we are again. I think it is driven by money. And, I don't know what to say. But I'm hopeful that Penn State can hold on to its culture at all levels. And it's, like I say, it's more about the spectacle of the Saturday game. And, you know, kind of take that bigger context to things and go forward. And, I don't know. But, hey, thanks, guys. Enjoy the weather. I guess we're dipping down into the teens tonight.
Of course we'll enjoy the weather. It's the only weather we've got.
Yeah, thanks.
Well, we can bet on, you know, I was telling my wife, don't turn your wipers on when they're frozen to the windshield. That cost me $30. And I had a hell of a time trying to explain that to her. But... All right, take care.
All right, thanks for the call. Ah, life. You got to love life. 814-954-7266. Yeah, this betting stuff, I mean, you can literally bet on anything. Now, there's an outfit called Kalshi. Kalshi. They got a website. They got an app.
A lot more people in this area are familiar with it now than they were, say, 2 weeks ago. A lot more people.
Yeah, because who will the Penn State coach be? Blah, blah, blah. But I just, and again, folks, I don't bet. Now, I agree with the caller. If it's a fair competition, if it's a fair question, you know, where nobody's throwing anything, okay, you bet, all right, and you win or you lose. I mean, but some of the, like, I've got Kalshi up here. The people are betting money on this right now. What will the highest temperature be today in New York City? What will the highest temperature be today in New York City? And I'm looking at this, and if I'm reading this right, nearly $47,000 of money have been bet by somebody or somebody's about what is the highest temperature going to be today in New York City. Right now, the leader is, and this is incredibly tight, 41 to 42 degrees.
Wow.
62% of the bettors on this gig say today's high in New York will be 41 to 42 degrees. So it's not like a range of 5 or 10 degrees. It's a range of like 2 degrees. 43 to 44 degrees gets 18% of the vote. And they show you this stuff. And this is going to continue, I guess, till midnight, I guess, till another 14 hours. And so at midnight, however they get the official high temperature, now there's an argument. Is the temperature in New York City the same for the whole city? I kind of doubt it. All right. Our friend Joe Bastardi's talked about this from time to time. The official thermometer for our area used to be, which building? Shoot, I forget which building now. And then they moved it or something. Well, okay, when you move the thermometer, well, now over here, it might be a little warmer. It might be a little colder.
Yeah.
All right? I mean, just stuff like that. People are betting on things like this. Now, how do you fix the temperature of New York City? I don't think you do. But other things like a sports game, yeah, you could. That's where this gets nasty. All right, let's take a call.
Good morning. You're live on Let's Talk.
Here I am, Scott, Mr. Answer Man. I think the thermometer was in the Wagner building.
Wagner. Yeah, I was going to say it started with a W. Wagner building. Okay.
Yep.
All right.
That's my brilliant statement for the day.
Well done.
Regarding thermometers, the classic had to be old. This would be way before you guys' time. But in the old Honeymooners with Jackie Gleason and Art Carney, Jackie apparently thought he had a temperature, so they put a thermometer in his mouth, and Norton was going to read the thermometer, and he couldn't see it, so he lit a match. and he held it near the thermometer. And Jackie says, "What is it?" And he starts to let out a whimper like a cry, and he goes, "Oh, God, bro." He goes, "What?" He goes, 136. You guys have a good day.
You as well.
See, you put a thermometer, or you put a flame next to the thermometer.
There you go.
Hey, you're rigging it.
Look at this. It's 70 degrees in New York City today. Who saw that coming?
That's incredible. Yep, here it is. Who will be the next permanent head coach of the Penn State football team? This is
nobody. Nobody will be the permanent head coach.
Well,
no matter who it is.
That's the way they phrase it.
At some point, right? There will not be a permanent head coach.
All right. Now, this is Kelce, so people are betting.
Yeah.
According to this, $5.4 million total has been bet on that question on this platform.
Mm.
You want to take a guess whose name is at the top of the list?
Brian Daboll?
No.
Terry Smith.
Terry Smith,
okay.
According to this,
had to be one of
31% those, said Terry Smith. Matt Campbell is second at 27%.
Yeah.
Now, for folks who aren't familiar, Matt Campbell is who?
Iowa State's head coach.
Okay, all right.
He has been rumored to be a prospect to move into a bigger job for the last couple of seasons. And you would think if it was going to be Matt Campbell that thing would have been lined up. Certainly now, although you could say the same thing with just about any of these projected names now.
Now, there's a long list of names here, but if I hit the little plus sign to show me all the names, then Kelce wants me to sign up with Kelce.
Uh-huh.
I'm like, no. No, I'm not doing that.
You're
sorry.
Not doing it.
Not my gig, all right? So, this is crazy stuff. I'm looking at some of the, who will Trump nominate as the next chair of the Fed? What movie will win the Oscar for Best Picture? I don't know, two movies at the top I've never even heard of. Well, that's the norm, I think, for the Oscars. Let's see. The top artist on Spotify next year. All right. People are betting money on this stuff. Will the ACA premium tax credits be extended this year? That's the health subsidies. Yes or no? Oh, for goodness sakes. Will Donald Trump attend another football game this year? Oh, for goodness sakes. People are betting on that. Will he? It doesn't matter the game. Will he attend a game? Will he attend a game? Yes or no? Oh, this is insane. Before we break, let's take a call.
All right. Good morning. You're live on Let's Talk.
May the Fourth be with you, the last Star Wars holiday of the year.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, it's December, but okay.
Yeah. Well, there's the first one. That's January, Scott.
That is the
truth. No, I'm usually, that's May 4th. I don't normally think about that in December.
No, but this—if you like—if you have to explain a joke, it dies right there on the operating table.
Boom.
That's the famous Woody Allen line.
Yeah, sorry. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No, I'm doing Uber, and I got different passengers in the car, and I'll get an extra tip if I say, "May the Fourth be with you," and then they go, "Oh, I've never seen one of the," this is a young girl, "I never saw one of, ever saw a Star Wars movie." And said, and then I said, "But I have a dog named Jar Jar Binks." And, so I went on to talk about Jar Jar Binks was, I think it was in the third Star Wars movie, but it was the first character that they just marketed so they could get Star Wars. It's a character they just wrote in so they can make Jar Jar Binks dolls and stuff like that. But I wanted to talk about snowman. There's a lot of snowman making out there on campus around town. Did you ever have the Mad Turtle, did you guys make it a snowman?
That was a good wet snow.
It was. We did not this time around, no.
But you have in the past.
Oh, yes.
I saw there's a Tower Road where the Blue Band and the turf course is on University, and Tower Road is back there, and there's a place back there that is dedicated to chickens, and they haven't been able to find out whether the chicken or the egg came out, but they have a great big snowman of a big chicken, and there's the Nittany Lion is riding it like a rider on a horse, and it's a very cool snowman. I've never seen anything like that.
Wow, okay.
Most original snowman of the year goes to
place your bets.
We appreciate the phone call. We have got to get into this break and be back to wrap up shop in mere minutes.
We don't just talk sports, we live it. Sports Radio 98.7,
The Fox.
Bigger and better than ever, it's the 2026 Happy Valley Comic Convention, February 28th and March 1st at Nittany Valley Sports Center. 100,000 square feet of fun with special guest Tricia Helfer, the gorgeous Cylon from Battlestar Galactica, and Tracy Coco from Star Trek, along with actors from Pokemon, Dragon Ball Z, and other Japanese series. Collectibles, discussions, artist costume contest, and much more. Get your tickets starting now at $8 at HappyValleyComicCon.com. Kids 10 and under free on Sunday. HappyValleyComicCon.com. Made possible by a grant from the Happy Valley Adventure Bureau.
When winter's at its worst, snowplow professionals need the best. That's why your local Boss dealer has the ultimate lineup of snow and ice solutions you need. Front to back, Boss leads with advanced truck plows and spreaders, compact equipment, heavy equipment, and time-saving tools to clear any surface area. Keep them open with a Boss snowplow, built to back you up.
Maxwell Truck and Equipment, 1705 East Trout Road, State College. Call them at 814-234-2672.
Eating healthy is important for us and for our animals. The Center Hall Farm Store knows this. Local, fresh ingredients are put in all of our feeds. Expert care from people ingrained in our community. If you haven't been to the Center Hall Farm Store yet, do yourself and your animals a favor and stop on in at 110 Allison Street in Center Hall. See what a difference the local touch can make in providing real quality. And be sure to check out our website at centerhallfarmstore.com.
Looking for something different? But you want something that's quick and affordable that won't set you back in the pocketbook? Then you need to head down to Brothers Pizza and Courthouse Pub right next to the Center County Courthouse on North Allegheny Street in downtown Belfast. They feature only the best pizza in town and also the finest selections from Robin Hood Brewing Company, University Wines, and Big Spring Liquors. Come celebrate happy hour in Happy Valley every Tuesday through Saturday from 4 to 6 at Brothers Pizza and Courthouse Pub in downtown Belfast.
Have a holly jolly Christmas. It's the best time of the year.
It's Let's Talk here on a Thursday morning. Again, I'll be off tomorrow and on Monday. Mr. Geezy will be flying solo in here, bringing you Christmas cheer as only he can. A couple minutes remaining. We're happy to give it to you if you would like. 814-954-7266.
Flying solo, crash and burn. I hope not. So, folks, I need your help tomorrow and Monday. Oh, I've got plenty of topics to discuss, believe you me.
Oh, yeah.
I will toss this down. We're virtually done here, but I mentioned this earlier in the show. I'll talk more on this tomorrow, because when I saw this yesterday, I'm like, are you kidding me? All right. This is from our friends from FIRE, because we've had them on the show several times. FIRE is the Foundation for Individual Rights and Expression. They're based down in Philadelphia. They're all about free speech. And college free speech, all right, they come out with their annual rankings every September. Frankly, Penn State never does very well in that gig, although they improved this year.
Yeah.
Yay. So hopefully that number keeps going. But I'll just touch on this, and then we'll dive more into it on tomorrow's show. In the meantime, you can think about this.
All right.
I'm reading from their release. They did research. Fire does their own research. Did some research recently. Lead line, a shocking 91% of undergrads, so this is college students, a shocking 91% of undergrads believe that words can be violence.
Oh, boy.
Think about that for a moment. Now, their follow-up line, and I'm reading their line, and I agree with them 100%, is they say, here's why that's a problem. When people start thinking that words can be violence, then violence becomes an acceptable response to words. And all you got to do is say Charlie Kirk.
Yeah.
I mean, 91% of undergrads, college students are thinking this?
Ugh. Caller, you have 30 seconds. Yeesh. It's yours. Good morning.
This is Chuck O again. Hey, Scott.
Yes.
Remember it. Okay to go to the dark side just for once in a while.
Oh, boy. Speaking of the dark side, cold supermoon tonight.
Oh, yeah, big and big.
About 6:15, roughly, is where it's supposed to be at its best. So you got the cold supermoon going for you tonight.
Come right up over the eastern horizon.
Let's get out and enjoy that, shall we?
If you got a clear view, it's really cool. It really, really is.
Folks, enjoy your next couple of days with Mr. Geezy.
Oh, my.
I will be back on Tuesday, and I hope you have a great time until then. See you.
Sports Radio 98.7, the Fox Sports.